kind of just studying the Oakland A's as we get ready to talk to Mark Kotze, hopefully here in a couple of minutes. In fact, he's calling in right now. It's Bennett Woods on 97.3 The Fan. And, of course, one of their most productive players, probably their leading all-star candidate as a position player, has been Brent Rooker. And you remember, Brent Rooker was on the Padres,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. And I looked by, and he only played two games for the Padres in 2022.
You asked me, and I said six.
Yeah, he was 0-for-7 in those two games. And then the Padres traded him to the Royals for Cam Gallagher, who I believe was a catcher who never did much. But he has thrived with the Oakland Athletics. He's kind of the one that got away. There's always a couple of those guys that got away.
Yeah.
Joining us right now, though, is the manager of the Oakland Athletics, former center fielder for the San Diego Padres, Mark Kotze, is with us. Kotze, it's been a long time. It's good to have you on with Ben Higgins, Stephen Woods here in San Diego. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing well, man. Welcome home, number one.
And it's good to be home.
And number two, have you ever seen anything like what happened yesterday? Well, I don't mean to laugh, but it was an insane play. Kikuchi gets up off a Gatorade bottle, completely takes out your first baseman with like one of the better tackles I think I've seen.
I heard a lot of NFL. Red card. I heard targeting. Yeah. I mean, if this was another sport, this would be a serious infraction.
Yeah, it was quite the event yesterday. There, you know, I don't think Tyler saw it at all. Saw it coming, so. You get de-cleated in a baseball game. something that you can talk about for a while, for sure.
You know, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, why is everyone sitting outside the dugout like it's some Sunday league game? And I understand, you know, there's a lot of space over there. Obviously, the foul territories are legendary there in Oakland. But if you slow it down, it looks like he looks up and says, oh, I'm going to take – it's Kikuchi would never do that. Like, no one would ever do that to another player. It was just one of those weird scenarios. When you saw it, were you like, did I really see what I just saw?
I was kind of concerned about Tyler.
Sure, yeah.
When he got taken out. But, no, and then Guccione, who's the first base umpire, was like, I think he was more caught off guard by the whole play as well because he didn't even make a call. And I'm like, yeah. What's going on here? You know, you take my first baseman, now we had to play on the ball, and you're not going to call interference. And yet, you know, this year we've seen interference called on infield flies to end games. So it was quite interesting. They got it right. They got the call right. But, yeah, our field plays really, you know, wide in foul territory, and those dugouts are just – they're just open dugouts. You know, there's no railing.
Yeah.
Like, you can sit on the top step, and he just – decided, hey, I'm not going to get hit by this ball. It's coming at me, and I'm going to get out of here. And yeah, lined him up and took him out.
So. Awful.
Talking to Mark Kotze, and Mark, obviously a big part of your job is player development. And I know, you know, they do that a lot of that in the minor leagues, but you've got some younger guys on your roster. We were just talking about Brent Rooker and his brief appearance with the Padres. Obviously, you know, AJ Preller saw something in him when he acquired him from the Twins, but didn't work out here. What's the key to sometimes just unlocking, you know, you get to the big leagues, all these guys have talent, but unlocking it on the next level and doing what he's been able to do for you guys has been pretty remarkable.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you brought Rooker up. I mean, he was our all-star last year, and when we got him, he was the last guy to make the roster in spring training. I remember sitting in San Francisco, we did a Bay Bridge series right before we break for, you know, from camp, and telling him he made the team was the start of his journey. And when you talk about player development, I mean, we're big leaguers, right? They're big leaguers. We're not developing at the big league level. But we are definitely in a process where, you know, we're going through some change here in Oakland. And that's obviously is very evident of where our organization is right now. But to give him 500 at-bats last year is really what he needed. And when you guys acquired him, the Padres got him. I mean, you guys, you know, had to have success now. And these type of players that get moved, you know, he was, I think, waiver wired from Minnesota or Kansas City. Like, he's had a journey and he's never stuck. But he hasn't stuck because he didn't have the consistent at-bats where he could actually, you know, go through a 35, 40 at-bat slump. And we had that opportunity to allow him to grow and go through that time frame. And here he is in year two of a full season again, putting up some really good numbers.
It's crazy to think about, too, Kotz. You've been around the game a long, long time, man. Crazy to think about how many of those guys might have fallen through those cracks when it comes to getting a shot in the big leagues and just not having the opportunity, like you said, to go through a 40 AB slump. No one's really given that these days. And think about some of the guys maybe you played with or came up with. It's like, man, had they been given a chance with another organization, who knows? You know, sky's the limit for some of those dudes.
Yeah, no question. I mean, that's part of the game, part of the change. It's really difficult now to get to the big leagues and have, you know, immediate success. We saw that this year with, you know, Holiday with the Orioles being brought up. And we're seeing it even with, you know, I know you guys had the Diamondbacks in. I haven't looked at what Carroll did over the weekend against you guys, but, you know, he's another player in his second year. We've got a second-year player named Zach Gelof that has had his, struggles this season as well, where he came up last year, had immediate impact, a lot of success for 4 months, and these first 2 months and just haven't been able to put it together.
I know Tyler Nevin's been up and down with you a little bit this season. Does Dad ever, you know, give you a call to talk about how Tyler's doing? How does that work?
Daddy Bowl?
No. Tyler laid the groundwork still, and I couldn't talk very much.
Okay.
So, Tyler's another example, guys. A player that we acquired from Baltimore. He got off to a really hot start, and then things didn't go well. We decided to make a move, which is really tough because you guys mentioned, like, Phil and I are really close. So those relationships, you separate those relationships from the baseball side of performance and business side of things, which is hard to do. But, Tyler's still with us. He's in AAA right now. He'll most likely have another shot and opportunity to get back here. And impact this club at some point.
Talking to A's skipper Mark Kotze here on Ben and Woods this morning. You know, and I look at the record 26-41, and you know, it's funny. I've known you a little bit. I follow you, and I think about you a lot and what you've been tasked with in Oakland. And knowing you, the competitor that you are, I don't know that you want to hear, man, you've really done a great job. I feel like in your mind, you're like, I've lost 41 games. We've lost 41 games this year. I know what expectations were. Day one, spring training. How did you address your team, Mark, saying, look, you know, was it like the Lou Brown? Like, nobody expects us to do anything. Let's shove it down their throats. How did that work?
Yeah, no, you don't go that direction, but more of just, hey, you know, we're out to win as many games as possible, and we'll, you know, look up at the end of the season, and as long as we've done, you know, at our preparation, we've had incremental growth, like, you know, we're going to do our best to compete in this division. I mean, we have two World Series champions sitting in our division in the Astros and the Rangers, which, you know, and Seattle's had four winning seasons. So, we do have a young roster. We brought some veteran guys in. Our April, you know, our first seven games didn't start out great. We were 1-6. And then we started to really do things right. We started to pitch well. We started to play defense well. We had a rotation that was together for 38 days that we put together this offseason and really identified some guys that would come in and not just help our young pitchers, but help us, manage games. And that was, you know, Ross Stripling and Alex Wood and Paul Blackburn. And all those guys now are on the IL. So we've been kind of decimated, with injuries in terms of a small market team and what we can do in providing depth. Depth comes from a lot of young guys and inexperienced guys, which, you know, is hard. It's hard at the big leagues right now to come up and like I said, have immediate impact and success. But we've actually gotten some good starts from some young guys. You know, J.P. Sears is one of our starters that made 32 starts last year, his rookie year, and he's still on track. He's made every start this season. And you'll see a kid tonight, you know, Joey Estes, that's going to start. I think maybe his sixth or seventh start in the big league. So, we are where we're at, but we definitely go out and prepare, and we've definitely played better baseball this season. We're more competitive than we were last year, and that shows the growth that we're looking for. At the end of the day, can lie down and say, hey, we put our best foot forward. We're preparing to win each day, and we're really focused on the details of the game.
Of course, the one guy I'm most excited to see is also the guy I hope we don't see at all.
Correct.
Over the next 3 days. That is Mason Miller.
My
goodness. When did you guys kind of know you had something here? What's his story? And just kind of tell me a little bit about Mason Miller here.
He's tired, though. Yeah. I think he needs a few days, is what I heard through the grapevine. He's very, very worn down.
Bad fish tacos last
Bad
night.
Bad fish tacos, yeah.
Mason, you know, we got fortunate to be able to draft Mason. We took a chance on him, you know, and last season when he came up, he was a starter, made a few starts, had some elbow issues. We had to shelf him for a while, brought him back at the end of the season just to make sure he was healthy and get his confidence back. And we used him in a role where he pitched 3 innings every fifth day, really just to see where his arm strength was and see how he would finish the season. Going into the offseason, our GM and myself talked about maximizing his impact for this team and trying to keep him healthy for a full season, and we felt best that we moved him to the back end of the bullpen. We didn't know that he would emerge as this type of closer this quickly, but he's really embraced the role. He's a special kid. He's got a special arm, and you know, I'm hopeful that we can at least use him 2 out of 3 games this season.
I hope not.
Three days.
Absolutely. It's so weird because I root for Mark so much, and but not for the next 3 days. I can't. I don't want to see him. I just don't want to see him. He's so nasty. What's he like as a because he seems, I mean, like a really, really, you have to be a closer, but he seems like a gnarly competitor.
Yeah, no, he is. He's intense. He's intense, but, you know, he's just embraced this role so well. And you guys know this. I mean, my relationship with Trevor Hoffman, and yeah. Trevor's one of my best friends. Like, we communicate a lot about bullpen, and we communicate a lot about, you know, the roles down there and the importance of routines. And so, you know, I kind of reached out to Trev early on in this process, and he's been great with Mason, which Mason has been so thankful for just that relationship as well. So,
Mark, before we go, just how's you? How's life, family, everything? How's everything treating you?
You know, life's good. I can't complain. I'm getting to do what I dreamed of doing, and, you know, 1 of 30 jobs. Blessed to be in that seat and, you know, grinding to get this organization back to where it belongs. And you know, there's been a lot of adversity, a lot of challenges, but, you know, there's direction now, and we're excited about that.
Awesome, man. Love to the family, and hope to see you soon. And, yeah, just sit on Miller for a while. Save something for the long haul, all right?
Thanks, man.
Thanks brother. Appreciate it.
Mark Hotze, manager of the Oakland A's. Good catching up with him.
Great.
Get to return to San Diego for the next 3 days. Well, it's nice to come home.
Oh, 100%.
It's funny because I could tell him we can give him a scouting report on the Padres, and all I can say is you won't think they're a 500 team. Either you'll think this is way better than a 500 team, or you'll go, how is this team even 500? And you don't know which one's going to show up every night for the Padres.
Yeah.
They're a 500 team who rarely looks like a 500 team, right?
<That's true.
laughs> Like, oh yeah. You watch them Friday and Saturday. There's no way this team isn't, you know, 20 games above 500. You watch them yesterday, you go, how is this team even close to 500?
That fallacy that I get watching games like Friday and Saturday night where I'm like beating my chest a little, like, look at who beats us?
Yes!
I say it in my house all the time. Bo will now go, who is this team? And I'm like, I know, they're unbelievable. And then, you know, the next day. So, yeah, we're all riding the wave that is being a San Diego Padres fan.
All right, good stuff from Mark Hotze.
Love him, dude.
We still have some Padres tickets to give away. Why don't we do that in our next segment? Padres, Oakland A's tickets for tomorrow night's Joe Musgrove basketball jersey giveaway night. We'll do that when we come back. Don't go away. More Ben and Woods coming up after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Thanks again to A's manager Mark Hotze. Padres and A's coming up tonight at 6:40. Sammy Levitt, who was also on with us earlier, will have the EcoWater SoCal pregame show at 5:40. Mark mentioned a little bit about the starting pitcher tonight. Joey Estes will get the ball against the Padres. He's 2-1, 4.67 ERA and 5 starts. Dylan Cease going for the Padres. And I could be wrong. I feel like it's been a while since the Padres have won a Dylan Cease start. They need to start winning more Dylan Cease starts than they lose.
It's not
like he's pitched poorly necessarily in many of those. They're just not taking advantage of Dylan Cease. And you pick up an ace, that's great. But if you're not winning the games that he's pitching, he's not really impacting your season the way that you'd want your season to be impacted. What does the game log look like, Paulie?
They lost his last start in Anaheim. They won before that.
Gave up three.
Kansas City.
Gave up three earned runs in that start.
His last few starts have been loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, win.
What
loss,
a Padre.
Win, win, win.
What a Padre he is. Win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. Three earned runs in his last two starts, four against the Yankees. Yeah, I mean, you'd love to have him go out and have one of those dominant games where he gives up a run, you know, and hope that you can scratch something together against who?
Joey Estes.
Joey Estes.
Sounds like a Cy Young winner to me.
He of the Bakersfield Esteses.
Estes?
Just guessing. I have no idea anything about Joey Estes. I'm sure I'll learn more tonight than I wanted to.
Some of the chat wonder, is he related to former Giants pitcher Sean Estes?
Could be a son.
I have no idea.
At this point. But, yeah.
He's a 22-year-old from Palmdale.
Palmdale.
Actually, pretty close.
Yeah. Bakersfield,
the Palmdale. I was a total pulled it right out of my ass. I spilled water all over my shirt. Look at this.
Of anywhere you could have. Yeah, there you go. Your prognostication skills of where Joey Estes is from is pretty spot on there.
But my drinking skills are not. I just poured water all over myself. God, I'm ready to get out of here. Craig's here early. So just have him come in and do this last 30 minutes.
I'm very excited this week. You know why?
It's U.S. Open week.
It's U.S. Open
week.
Yeah, I knew that. In particular,
I didn't want to bring it up. I was going to in the Open. Are you out of your mind?
In particular, because the U.S. Open is being played at Pinehurst.
Which you just went to.
I went to, so now I know the course.
What a nightmare.
Get to watch it with a little eager eye. Scottie Scheffler is going to be the overwhelming favorite. He won again yesterday.
If I could take something, Paulie, if we could take something and plug it into the side of his head, mm-hmm. as he is watching the opening round or on Sunday, even the commentary, like there could be no inner monologue.
Well, now I know exactly where
I hit my shot. Yes. Oh, I hit mine there. If we're looking to torture anyone, bring them in that room with Ben and make him watch the U.S. Open as Ben also goes shot by shot of where he played.
He's going to be watching these professionals, and you're like, lining up. I've played there. You actually really want to hit it over in this spot.
Probably not in a great spot there for him. Oh, it's so good.
Ray wants to know if I texted Xander with some of my tips.
Did you ever give me your tips?
Felt like if he wanted to reach out to me, I'd be happy to share.
He doesn't know you.
He did not reach out to me to get my input on Pinehurst number two.
God, it's going to be great. I will not be connecting you two.
I have his number. I'm just not going to reach out of the blue, you know, ask him what kind of bat he uses or anything. I'm not.
Please, God. You're not my dad. All right. I'm begging you to send him some tips.
I'm not going to send him some tips.
Why?
It's U.S. Open week. By the way, Xander.
Didn't he say I would like those?
Xander is the first player in, I think, 120 years to start his career. I think it's seven straight top 15s in the U.S. Open without winning, though.
Crazy.
He has not won. And the only, I mean, he's like up there with like Jack Nicklaus in always in contention at U.S. Opens. And I certainly expect him to be in contention this week. I just don't know how anyone's going to beat Scottie Scheffler. Scottie didn't even play that well this week. And he still ended up winning by one over Colin Morikawa yesterday at the Memorial Jacks tournament. I did see, and I don't know if this is true or not, but it was posted that, you know, Tiger's been there for a few days at Pinehurst getting ready. Someone said he shot a 29 on the front in a practice round yesterday.
Holy crap, dude.
I mean, that place, that's not, 29 is not a score that you're going to see in the U.S. Open. So I was skeptical when I saw it, but Tiger has been putting in work out there for the last few days to try to, you know, make the cut and try to. He wants to win another major. I mean, it doesn't feel like he can even be competitive, but he's still going out there. So I'd imagine he wouldn't go out there if he felt like he was going to embarrass himself every single time.
The U.S. Open's cool, too, because of the U.S. Open qualifiers. There's always, you know.
It's open.
Yeah, there's always some. This guy's a PE teacher, and he qualified for the U.S. Open, and he's 4-under after 8-hole. Like, I love those stories about the Open.
Yeah, they never really hold. In the end, it's almost always the big-time pros who can will out over 4 days in those kind of conditions. But
what's the best finish for an amateur ever?
Amateurs have won long ago. I mean, in the olden days when golf was kind of an amateur sport. But, I mean, you had an amateur win a tournament this year.
I remember
in the desert.
That was incredible.
Had the college kid who won.
But a U.S. Open.
I'm trying to remember if anyone, like at the Open Championship, the British, you know, Justin Rose is an amateur. He contended right until the end in that tournament when he was still like 16. He was still there. Most of these amateurs that are contending, though, they're about to turn pro. They're like on the verge of turning pro, and they wait until after because you can't turn if you qualify as an amateur, you can't turn pro before the tournament, or they don't hold your spot anymore. So a lot of them play as they're about to turn pro, so they're kind of semi pros anyway. The true guys who qualify, like the everyday guys who are just happen to be like one handicaps who are really good, yeah, who can make it all the way through. It does happen. It's very rare. Most of the people who qualify are golf pros. And the ones that aren't pros are generally like top college player amateurs who are about to turn pro. But every once in a while, you do get that Cinderella story where a guy can make it to the U.S. Open and who knows, have a good round and be somewhere around the leaders as a nobody, you know, just showing up at the golf tournament.
It's what made Tin Cup so unbelievable, right?
It was a fun movie.
Fun story.
So that's what I'm looking forward to this week.
We know.
We've got Padres tickets to give away. We've got a two-pack? No, it's a four-pack of tickets. No, pair of tickets for tomorrow's Padres A's game. First 40,000 fans will receive a Joe Musgrove basketball jersey. Get your tickets at Padres.com/tickets or be the fourth caller right now, 833-288-0973. Fourth caller is going to win the pair of tickets for tomorrow's Padres A's game with the Joe Musgrove basketball jersey. Did you see Mud this weekend?
I did. Of course I did.
Without the undershirt, going the full. I was interested. He was showing off the scars from his pitching surgeries,
yeah,
the labrum and the elbow, the bone spurs in his elbow. I mean, those scars stay with you when you're a professional athlete forever.
Sure do.
But he didn't look bad. Arms looked pretty good.
Looked
little pale.
A little definite. Yeah, it's very pale. It's pale white, but not too shabby.
I mean, no different than my golf tan.
That is pale and moly.
Moly?
Very moly. Right. There's a lot of moles.
I like mole.
It's moly.
It's different than moly.
Yeah, my arms don't look holy either.
Moly.
All right, wrap it up.
Jesus Christ. Rindle Report's coming up next. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Congratulations to Jose, one of the Padres tickets. Thank you for calling in. Everybody else, better luck next time. This hour on 97.3. What? That's a genuine...
The better luck next time bit.
Better luck next time.
Idiots.
No, genuinely.
Suckers.
Better luck compared to the not great luck they had this time.
So smarmy.
This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Express Employment Professionals. If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is your one connection for a summer job in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com. Now, your third job as a T-ball coach has a bit of maybe one of the hardest parts of the job tonight.
Tonight.
You have your team awards.
Team party,
And you have to come up with an award for every player.
We're going to OG's.
Okay.
And there's a room, like an area there where we can go. I didn't pick it. I just go where I'm told.
I'm just saying, we have a whole round table. I feel like you should be going to round table.
I didn't pick it.
Fine.
Team round
table, whatever.
Simply the best.
Why round table? Simply the best. I just go where I'm told. And I have to come up. There's a couple reasons why it's hard. Number one, I cry at everyone. Every single team award, I lose my mind because this is my little guys and I watch them grow. I've seen them grow up and when I'm giving them awards, it gets me choked up every single time. I won't make it through the first three. And I love them. I love them to death. And it just kills me every single year. So then
you've gone through the Encinitas T-ball wars with them.
100%.
And emerged on the other end.
And then, like, all the moms are there, and they're all, you know, attractive. And they're all looking at me, and I'm up there weeping, and all the dads are there. And they're probably like, Jesus, what's this guy's problem? Right? It's just I get domed out about it every single year. But then I got to come up with all the superlatives. Right? And I asked my wife again this morning as I was leaving the house. You're sure I can't give Bo the MVP award, my son? You're sure?
Do you have to have a superlative for every kid?
Of course. Yeah, and I want it to match who they are, right? I don't want to be like best hitter award to the worst hitter. I want it to, like, these are what I see in your child. So I want it to be true. you know? And I put a ton of effort into it, and I think about it a lot. But she won't let – he's my MVP. Like, he's –
Anybody get the MVP?
No, I guess not.
So knowing it's the MVP.
So what? I'm like, okay, give him another gold glove. Like, all he does, he's stacking gold gloves. He's my most valuable player. He works harder. He pays attention. He plays hard. Like, he's everything I could ask for. He's coachable. He's my MVP. And she's like, you can't do it. And she's like, that's daddy ball. And I'm like, yeah, I'm his literal daddy, though. Like, I'm his daddy, and he is my best player.
I mean, it's hard to come up with something different for everybody on a team.
Jack says, somebody's got to be MVP.
How many kids you got?
Me?
On the team?
12. 12 superlatives. It's gnarly, dude. It's gnarly.
Best teammate.
Best teammate's a good one. It's a really good one. That's a really good one.
Best command of the strike zone.
We do not pitch. We hit off the tee. I get so nervous about this every single
Most year. Likely to damage the tee.
Best hair.
I Googled a bunch. Best attitude.
Okay, we got
best
some of those.
Best infielder, best outfielder, best slugger, best teammate.
Slugger.
Game Changer Award.
Ooh, the Game Changer Award.
That's most improved.
Most improved is a good one.
Mr. We have, Hustle.
We have seen a lot of improvement.
Best attitude.
Best attitude's good. Paul, I said that one.
Yeah, by that one, okay.
Heart and hustle, classic.
Best listener. I wouldn't win that one.
Bo would win that. He really is my best listener.
The Roberto Clemente Man of the Year Award.
Correct, yeah. The Rolaids Reliever of the Year Award. Most gritty.
Best base runner.
Yeah, there's like the Charlie Hustle, I think, is good. Charlie Hustle Award. Best swing, I think, is a good one, because I do have a kid in mind that has a great left-handed swing.
Best high fives. I definitely would not win that one.
You did not win that one. Yeah, so I just, there's none that would be offensive, right? Like, if somebody won best.
Oh, I'm sure if you worked hard enough, you could make it
least
offensive.
Valuable player, I would say that that's offensive. Pretty offensive.
Doesn't matter if you show up or not, award. The bench warmer award, although nobody sits on the bench. I just want them to be cool. Like, I wanted the awards to be cool and then be happy, but they love getting those trophies. And this is my
most
big,
likely to show up to practice in jeans.
This is my argument against we're going to give everybody participation trophies. First of all, they're six. They love them. It makes them want to come back, which is my ultimate goal, is to get kids to fall in love with the game of baseball. It's not to win a T-ball championship. It's to get these kids excited to come back to play again. So that's why we didn't have any playoffs. We're not whacking up the playoff share with all the team moms. This actually cost us all a fortune to buy them. We get trophies for them. They're six. They deserve trophies. Why? Because they completed a baseball season. And I think that's a good reason. So
they're not participation trophies. They're completion trophies.
They're completion. That's exactly it. And they deserve a trophy for completing the season. And, by the way, playing really hard and playing really well and dominating and having a great time doing it and learning about the game. So that's my kind of biggest issue with it. Like, what does it hurt a kid to get a trophy for doing a good job? Because he didn't win a 7-day tournament or something? Like, it's just ridiculous to me. So
I don't know. I think the argument goes, if they already know they're going to get a trophy in the future because they always get one, what's the incentive to truly excel and take it to the next level? I don't think
it's
it applies
not a piece
to 6-year-olds.
Plastic, though.
You know, at some point you make the transition, though, from participation trophies to you have to actually win something to get a trophy. It's not six, though, when it happens. No one should be complaining about trophies for six-year-olds.
Ted, our buddy, we played at fantasy camp with Ted. I love Ted. He says, have the kids vote. Ted, that sounds like way too much work. Way too. All right, everyone write down somebody's name and then to collate
them. Do the
them
athletic. And anonymous poll
anonymous
of the players.
Poll, yeah.
Most overrated.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one. So, yeah, that's tonight. I can't do the kid vote. I'm just going to pick.
I think, again, they're six.
They're six.
But I think if you get older, maybe like 10, 11, 12, I think everybody can get a trophy for playing on the team.
Yeah.
And then if you want to give out three additional trophies, an MVP, you know, or whatever.
I don't do like game balls and stuff yet, but I will. I will do that. But apparently Bo just robbed again of an MVP by who? His mother. His mother robbed him of an MVP today.
Got to get to a Rindle report. First, quickly, for the off-road enthusiasts, the Off-Road Nights Dirt Lifestyle Expo is coming June 22nd to North County Mall Escondido. You can get your tickets now at ornscene.com. Polly's got his headlines right after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right. Did Ben just say Escondido, by the way?
I'll have to pull the
tape. Don't think I said.
I think you did.
I think I said Escondido.
Escondido. It was close. We'll have to
definitely going to have to check the tapes later.
There's always a tape.
Escondido.
All right, gentlemen, we will start off in the NBA, give you an update on the NBA Finals. The Celtics handled the Mavericks again last night, 105-98, a little bit closer.
So boring.
Yeah.
It was not close. I watched some of
it. Yeah, it was close. It was closer than game one. Here's the problem. Luka went off. The Celtics couldn't hit their threes. And they still won by seven. I don't see how Dallas has a path to winning this series. I mean, maybe they'll win one at home, but it just doesn't seem like they have a path. I guess Porzingis got hurt again. If he can't go, that could maybe crack the door a little bit for the Mavs, but I think Boston's got this one
in the bag.
Pretty wrapped up. It's not a series until somebody wins on the road, but Boston absolutely dominated those first two games, especially game one. It was not even close. A little bit closer last night. I know one person that's a Mavs fan, and I was texting with him yesterday, and he just goes, man, I just want them to, like, compete in game two. Like, if they can keep it close, I'll feel okay heading back to Dallas. If they get blown out again in game two like they did in game one, then it's over. But the fact that, like, Jason Tatum did not play well at all, and they led the entire game, you think that's probably going to do it for Dallas.
Yeah.
So yesterday, we talked a little bit about the London series, the Phillies and the Mets playing at London Stadium, I believe, is where they were at. And I saw there was a funny moment before the game, actually. Of course, they've got every team has all their ambassadors and celebrity friends that made the trip. And for the Phillies, they had Rob McElhenney from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And he was out there to throw out the first pitch, but he did not throw out the first pitch. Instead, we had the maybe first ever ceremonial double play. So what happened was McElhenney goes out onto the mound, and I guess before the game, he wasn't sure who he was going to throw the ball to.
Yeah, they had done a whole social media like campaign around who's he going to choose.
Like, are you going to take the current star?
Right, Bryce Harper.
Bryce Harper. Or, like I said, alumni were there. Chase Utley was there.
The guy you grew up watching and idolizing.
He couldn't decide. He can't throw two baseballs.
That would be a good
two first pitches. Yeah, that's not
that's
a bad idea.
That's actually a pretty good idea.
So he's on the rubber. And he's getting ready to throw out the first pitch. And then all of a sudden, his co-star, Caitlin Olsen, she comes running out of the dugout and kind of like waving her arm. Stop, stop, stop. So he steps off the rubber. And then all of a sudden, Bryce Harper comes jogging out of the dugout. And he goes over to first base. And then Chase Utley goes to second base. Rob slides back to short.
So
and
sick,
Caitlin dude. Rolls him a ground ball. He flips it over to Utley at second.
So
Utley
sick.
Over to Harper at first base, and you had the first ever ceremonial double play.
Eric Krupner, if you're listening, hear me out. The Ben and Woods and Paul combo up the middle next time for the. Now, who would play where? Where would you have the best opportunity of success, Ben?
Ben's got to be at first.
Throwing from short to second.
Okay.
The short throw from short to second.
I'd take the feed throw to you, or you take the feed
Either
throw
one,
to me.
I think we're probably okay.
You don't think at first would be the best.
That's
the easy grounder, and then the flip to Paulie.
I mean,
the flip
if
to
you guaranteed me the the ball was, you know, like chest high, I'd probably catch it. But if I have to pick one out of the dirt all of a sudden, we could get dicey there.
Woods and I have the best chance of making that
the throw.
But I think the throw from short to second, I can flip it over there pretty easily.
Well, if you're listening, you need an idea. That's a really good one. It's funny that you mentioned that because I saw that the Phillies flagship was over there, flagship radio station. Yeah, over in London. So I DM'd Devin Caney, who we know we've had on the program before. I said, oh, you guys actually were sent to London. So jealous. I said, yes, it's been amazing. It's through a travel sponsor.
How come we didn't get to go to Korea or Mexico City?
Found a sponsor to do it. She said, very, very cool experience, though. I said, oh, that's cool, because we've been to two different places and didn't go.
No.
Hope they had fun, though. Very cool.
All right, finally, I saw a story from, Steve-O from Jackass.
Yeah.
He is celebrating his 50th birthday coming up.
A birthday he never thought he would reach. You know, never thought he would get close to 50.
Your job is doing stupid and dangerous things.
You feel like there's and methamphetamine.
Good chance you're probably not going to make it to 50.
Drinking yourself to a still every day, yeah.
I will absolutely say that I'm always pulling for Steve-O. I know he has had some demons that he has had to fight in his life. I believe he's clean now.
He is.
And he's
he's doing great.
I saw a post recently where he's like, I lost 50 pounds in the last year. Like, he's doing better. And so to celebrate his 50th birthday...
Congratulations to Jose, one of the Padres tickets. Thank you for calling in. Everybody else, better luck next time. This hour, 97.3. What? That's a genuine...
The better luck next time bit.
Better luck next time.
Idiots.
No, genuinely. I
suckers.
Wish better luck compared to the not great luck they had this time.
So smarmy.
This hour, 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Express Employment Professionals. If you're ready for a new job... Let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is your one connection for a summer job in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com. Now, your third job as a T-ball coach has a bit of maybe one of the hardest parts of the job tonight.
Tonight.
You have your team awards.
Team party,
And you have to come up with an award for every player.
We're going to OG's.
Okay.
And there's an area there where we can go. I didn't pick it. I just go where I'm told.
I'm just saying, we have a whole round table. I feel like you should be going to round table.
I didn't pick it.
I'm not
team round.
Never mind. Whatever.
Simply the best.
Why round table? Simply the best. I just go where I'm told, and I have to come up. There's a couple reasons why it's hard. Number one, I cry at everyone. Every single team award, I lose my mind because this is my little guys and I watch them grow. I've seen them grow up, and when I'm giving them awards, it gets me choked up every single time. I won't make it through the first three, and I love them. I love them to death. And it just kills me every single year. So then
you've gone through the Encinitas T-ball wars with them
100%
and emerged on the other end.
And then all the moms are there and they're all, attractive, and they're all looking at me, and I'm up there weeping, and all the dads are there, and they're probably like, Jesus, what's this guy's problem? Right? It's just I get domed out about it every single year, but then I got to come up with all the superlatives, right? And I asked my wife again this morning as I was leaving the house, you're sure I can't give Bo the MVP award, my son? You're sure?
Do you have to have a superlative for every kid?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, and I want it to match who they are, right? I don't want to be like best hitter award to the worst hitter. I want it to these are what I see in your child. So I want it to be true, you know? And I put a ton of effort into it and I think about it a lot, but she won't let, he's my MVP.
Anybody get the MVP?
No, I guess not.
So no one gets the MVP.
So what, I'm like, okay, give him another gold glove. Like all he does, he's stacking gold gloves. He's my most valuable player. He works harder. He pays attention. He plays hard. Like, he's everything I could ask for. He's coachable. He's my MVP. And she's like, you can't do it. And she's like, that's daddy ball. And I'm like, yeah, I'm his literal daddy, though. Like, I'm his daddy, and he is my best player.
I mean, it's hard to come up with something different for everybody on a team.
Jack says, somebody's got to be MVP.
How many kids you got?
Me?
On the team?
12. 12 superlatives. It's gnarly, dude. It's gnarly.
Best teammate.
Best teammate's a good one. It's a really good one. That's a really good one.
Best command of the strike zone.
We do not pitch. We hit off the tee. I get so nervous about this every single
Most
year.
Likely to damage the tee.
Best hair.
I Googled a bunch. Best attitude.
Okay, we got
best
some of those.
Best infielder, best outfielder, best slugger, best teammate.
Slugger.
Game Changer Award.
Ooh, the Game Changer Award.
Most Improved.
Most Improved is a good one.
Mr. We have, Hustle.
We have seen a lot of improvement.
Best attitude.
Best attitude's good. Paulie said that one.
Yeah, by that one. Okay.
Heart and hustle. Classic.
Best listener. I wouldn't win that one.
Bo would win that. He really is my best listener.
The Roberto Clemente Man of the Year Award.
Correct. Yeah. The Rolaids Reliever of the Year Award. Most gritty.
Best base runner.
Yeah, there's like the Charlie Hustle, I think, is good. Charlie Hustle Award. Best swing, I think, is a good one because I do have a kid in mind that has a great left-handed swing.
Best high fives. I definitely would not win that one.
You did not win that one. Yeah, so I just, there's none that would be offensive, right? Like if somebody won best.
Oh, I'm sure if you worked hard enough, you could make it
least
offensive.
Valuable player, I would say that would that's be offensive. Pretty offensive.
Doesn't matter if you show up or not, award. The bench warmer award, although nobody sits on the bench. I just want them to be cool. Like, I wanted the awards to be cool and then be happy, but they love getting those trophies. And this is my
most
big,
likely to show up to practice in jeans.
This is my argument against giving everybody participation trophies. First of all, they're six. They love them. It makes them want to come back, which is my ultimate goal, is to get kids to fall in love with the game of baseball. It's not to win a T-ball championship. It's to get these kids excited to come back to play again. So that's why we didn't have any playoffs. We're not whacking up the playoff share with all the team moms. This actually cost us all a fortune to buy them. We get trophies for them. They're six. They deserve trophies. Why? Because they completed a baseball season. And I think that's a good reason. So
they're not participation trophies. They're completion
trophies.
They're
completion. That's exactly it. And they deserve a trophy for completing the season. And, by the way, playing really hard and playing really well and dominating and having a great time doing it and learning about the game. So that's my kind of biggest issue with it. Like, what does it hurt a kid to get a trophy for doing a good job? Because he didn't win a 7-day tournament or something? Like, it's just ridiculous to me. So
I don't know. I think the argument goes, if they already know they're going to get a trophy in the future because they always get one, what's the incentive to truly excel and take it to the next level? I don't think
it's
it applies
not a piece
to six-year-olds.
Plastic, though.
You know, at some point you make the transition, though, from participation trophies to you have to actually win something to get a trophy. It's not six, though, when it happens. No one should be complaining about trophies for six-year-olds.
Ted, our buddy, we played at fantasy camp with Ted. I love Teddy. He says, have the kids vote. Ted, that sounds like way too much work. Way too. All right, everyone write down somebody's name and then to collate them.
Do the athletic. Anonymous poll of the players.
Yeah.
Most overrated.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one. So, yeah, that's tonight. I can't do the kid vote. I'm just going to pick.
I think, again, they're six.
They're six.
But I think if you get older, maybe like 10, 11, 12, I think everybody can get a trophy for playing on the team.
Yeah.
And then if you want to give out three additional trophies, an MVP, you know, or whatever.
I don't do like game balls and stuff yet, but I will. I will do that. But apparently Bo just robbed again of an MVP by who? His mother. His mother robbed him of an MVP today.
Got to get to a Rindle report. First, quickly, for the off-road enthusiasts, the Off-Road Nights Dirt Lifestyle Expo is coming June 22nd to North County Mall Escondido. You can get your tickets now at ornscene.com. Polly's got his headlines right after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a hoo-yah? Oh, yeah.
All right.
All right.
All right. Did Ben just say Escondido, by the way?
I'll have to pull the
tape.
I think you did.
I think I said Escondido.
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 It was close. We'll have to
check the tapes later.
There's always a tape.
Escondido.
All right, gentlemen, we will start off in the NBA, give you an update on the NBA Finals. The Celtics handled the Mavericks again last night, 105-98, a little bit closer.
So boring.
Yeah.
It was not close. I watched some of
it. Yeah, it was close. It was closer than game one.
I wasn't.
Here's the problem. Luka went off. The Celtics couldn't hit their threes, and they still won by seven. I don't see how Dallas has a path to winning this series. I mean, maybe they'll win one at home, but it just doesn't seem like they have a path. I guess Porzingis got hurt again. If he can't go, that could maybe. Crack the door a little bit for the Mavs, but I think Boston's got this one
in the bag.
Pretty wrapped up. It's not a series until somebody wins on the road, but Boston absolutely dominated those first two games, especially game one. It was not even close. A little bit closer last night. I was texting. I know one person that's a Mavs fan, and I was texting with him yesterday, and he just goes, man, I just want them to, like, compete in game two. Like, if they can keep it close, I'll feel okay heading back to Dallas. If they get blown out again in game two like they did in game one, then it's over. But the fact that, like, Jason Tatum did not play well at all, and they led the entire game, you think that's probably going to do it for Dallas.
Yeah.
So yesterday, we talked a little bit about the London series, the Phillies and the Mets playing at London Stadium, I believe, is where they were at. And I saw there was a funny moment before the game, actually. Of course, they've got every team has all their ambassadors and celebrity friends that made the trip. And for the Phillies, they had Rob McElhenney from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And he was out there to throw out the first pitch, but he did not throw out the first pitch. Instead, we had the maybe first ever ceremonial double play. So what happened was McElhenney goes out onto the mound, and I guess before the game, he wasn't sure who he was going to throw the ball
to. Yeah, they had done a whole social media like campaign around who's he going to choose.
Like, are you going to take the current star?
Right, Bryce Harper.
Bryce Harper. Or, like I said, alumni were there. Chase Utley was there.
The guy you grew up watching and idolizing.
He couldn't decide. He can't throw two baseballs.
That would be a good
two first pitches. Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
That's actually a pretty good idea.
So he's on the rubber. And he's getting ready to throw out the first pitch. And then all of a sudden, his co-star, Caitlin Olsen, she comes running out of the dugout and kind of like waving her arms. Stop, stop, stop. So he steps off the rubber. And then all of a sudden, Bryce Harper comes jogging out of the dugout. And he goes over to first base. And then Chase Utley goes to second base. Rob slides back to short.
So
sick. And Caitlin rolls him a ground ball. He flips it over to Utley at second.
So
Utley
sick.
Over to Harper at first base, and you had the first ever ceremonial double play.
Eric Rupner, if you're listening, hear me out. The Ben and Woods and Paul combo up the middle next time for the. Now, who would play where? Where would you have the best opportunity of success, Ben?
Ben's got to be at first.
Throwing from short to second.
Short to second? Okay.
The short throw from short to second.
I take the feed throw to you, or you take the feed
Either
throw
one,
to me.
I think we're probably okay.
You don't think at first would be the best. The easy grounder, and then the flip to Paulie.
I mean,
the flip
if
to me.
Guaranteed you me the ball was, you know, like chest high, I'd probably catch it. But if I have to pick one out of the dirt, all of a sudden, we could get
Woods
dicey there.
And I have
there.
The best chance of making that
the throw.
But I think the throw from short to second, I can flip it over there pretty
all
easily.
Right. Well, if you're listening, you need an idea. That's a really good one. It's funny that you mentioned that because I saw that the Phillies flagship was over there, flagship radio station, over in London. So I DM'd Devin Caney, who we know we've had on the program before. I said, oh, you guys actually were sent to London. So jealous. I said, yes, it's been amazing. It's through a travel sponsor.
How come we didn't get to go to Korea or Mexico City?
Found a sponsor to do it. She said, very, very cool experience, though. I said, oh, that's cool, because we've been to two different places, and didn't go.
No.
Hope they had fun, though. Very cool.
All right, finally, I saw a story from, Steve-O from Jackass.
Yeah.
He is celebrating his 50th birthday coming up.
A birthday he never thought he would reach. You know, never thought he would get close to 50.
When your job is doing stupid and dangerous things,
and methamphetamine.
Good chance you're probably not going to make it to 50.
Drinking yourself to a still every day, yeah.
I will absolutely say that I'm always pulling for Steve-O. I know he has had some demons that he has had to fight in his life. I believe he's clean now.
He is.
And
he's doing great.
I saw a post recently where he's like, I lost 50 pounds in the last year. Like, he's doing better. And so to celebrate his 50th birthday, he's going to be hanging out with Post Malone.
Okay.
And they're going to hang out at Bonnaroo coming up, and he's going to get his first ever face tattoo. Of all the things that Steve-O has done, he doesn't have any tattoos on his face. He's got a massive tattoo of himself, thumbs up on his back, an entire back tattoo.
Now, you never watched Jackass, is my guess.
Not really.
So there was one, Henry Rollins, they were in an off-road Jeep. And he got a smiley face tattooed while they're up and down the Jeep.
In the Jeep.
It's incredible. And he's like, ah! I mean, tattoos.
It was a smiley face.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, it looks like.
Horrible.
It looks terrible because they're up and down. And
it's a good bit.
It's a really good bit, man.
If you're brave enough to do it, it's a great
bit. So what is he getting on his face?
Well, it says here, getting his first face tattoo for his 50th birthday, Post Malone. Quote, Post Malone is going to tattoo a D.
The penis.
On my forehead.
Forehead?
Come on. Is this real?
Is Post Malone a tattoo artist? Isn't he just someone who gets tattoos? You can't just because you have tattoos just automatically assume you can tattoo other people.
First comment on the story. Good friends will use a Sharpie, but great friends.
Tattoo it.
Just tattoo it.
If I'm his wife, I'm like, Steve-O, come on.
Those are permanent.
They are. Yeah. Why do you want that on your forehead? Oh, like D-head? So, I saw a comment.
Okay, now how is he ever going to get a job in the corporate sector?
Hi, my name's Steve-O. I'm here to sell this Geico insurance. I don't think so. You're going to work the phone.
Right? Maybe we're past that stage for Steve-O.
I think so.
His final phase where he goes to work at an insurance company for 10 years.
I saw a comment that said... you're supposed to make wiser decisions the older you get. You know what? That really makes a lot of sense. There's no amount of money in the world that would let somebody tattoo a wiener on my head. Literally. I mean, what do you do? Hey, I got $50 million. Yeah, but you have a pee-pee on your head. I couldn't do it.
I mean, is he getting paid for it? This is simply to
celebrate his birthday.
That's what he wants.
Here's a penis on your forehead.
Fantastic.
Enjoy. And on that note...
Thank you, Paulie. congratulations, Wood, on the 17-year anniversary. Woods, on the 17-year anniversary.
Wood?
What is happening?
17 years ago tonight, your favorite show came to an end. The Sopranos.
I know. 17 years.
Where were you watching that?
At home. Just sitting
on
the couch.
At home?
Just watching
by
it.
By yourself?
No, I had my buddy Jay with me.
Okay.
And we were sitting on the couch watching Biting Our Nails.
What did you think at the
end? I was a wreck. What happened? The cable cut out? What's going on? I had no idea. And I hated it for many, many years. And now I love it.
Oh,
I think it's brilliant.
You guys want the
audio
tape?
Yeah, Eskin Dudu, and I want to hear him call me Wood and all of it.
And the Off-Road Nights Dirt Lifestyle Expo is coming June 22nd to North County Mall Eskin Dudu. You can get your tickets
Eskin
now.
Eskin Dudu.
More Escondidi.
No, Escondidi.
County Mall Escondidi. You can get your tickets.
You are. It's Monday.
That's a good point.
Are you that checked out already for the U.S. Open?
No. I just think.
You know that's coming.
Escondidi.
Yeah. I just want to make sure everyone has a good time for the Ben and Woods Open. I'm kind of focused on that for next week now.
Let's focus on our radio show and then we'll worry about the golf tournament.
Well, actually, we're going to go worry about the golf tournament right after the show today. Continuing the plans for next Wednesday. Last chance to sign up this week. Please do. That's it for us. Annie and Elston up next for Paulie and Wood. I'm Ben. Have a great rest of your Monday from all of us here at 97.3 The Fan.